there's an aspect of the Buddha's, I guess, character or teaching that seems to come through really strongly, which is having had the talent to know not just that he knew a lot of true things, but he had this talent for knowing precisely the thing to say to this person at this moment.
Yes.
And it seems to be part of the... it seems to be a characteristic of that is developed in the teaching Ajahn's, you know, the ability to answer appropriately to the person. I've never heard a monastic talk about how that is developed. I've never heard it referred to as part of the training, and yet it seems to be such an important aspect. Can you reflect on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly that is a wonderful and inspiring quality of the Buddha. And an inspiring quality of good teachers. And, you know, in terms of developing it, I think it's, again, depends on personality. I mean, there's, and experience. 'Cause when you get it wrong, you usually get a feel for it, or you hear about it after how badly that went. So, okay, it didn't work. And you're as a, say, as a teacher, you're trying to respond to the person themselves really when you're if you come across somebody and there's lots of them around in terms of teachers and people who are aspire to be teachers who they're either respond from from a book learning or from a kind of ideal of what they think they should be or an ideal they think of the person should be, and that rarely works, and certainly my own models were Ajahn Chah. That's who I was close to most. And, I feel he was a really exceptional example. And you can't just model somebody and do that. Again, it really falls flat when you're just trying to give a pat answer that you heard somebody else give. You have to be. There's a certain, because it's a part of practice and training for oneself. It's not like meditation and you're just sitting on your cushion. And it's like because when you're responding to somebody else, you're responding to the condition of suffering. And it's mirroring oneself. So you have to tune into oneself. So there needs to be a certain humility and relinquishment of self in order to respond most appropriately. So that's a part of practice and training that you can continue to be developing as a meditator, as a practitioner. So it's you're taking it on as part of a training, and so you're learning more about yourself because that just like that when as a monk, first time you have to be with somebody who is who is dying. And the first time you have to be with somebody who is really sick, and you know, or is in, you know, in a terrible state because of some catastrophe that's happened in their life, and you're completely intimidated by it, and you realize I'm got a clue, and I don't even know what I would do, let alone advise somebody else, you know. So you know that hits one, and you start realizing, okay, that's my own limitation, that's my own self that's getting in the way. How do I keep relinquishing that? How do I let go of that? And so that the more we can let go of our own self-position and our own, say, investment in... Because there's a real humility that has to come with that. Our own, say, self-image. Then you know, the more you release that, the more available you can be for people. And hopefully some kind of answer comes out of that. You know, and sometimes it does. And also sometimes you know, somebody asks you for some assistance or advice or something, and you know, sometimes you have to be, well, I don't know, I'm got a clue. You know? But then as you can explore it together sometimes, as soon as you do that, then you can explore it together sometimes. So I'm saying, yeah, I haven't got a clue what to do. But, let's think about this a bit.